Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Happy 4th of July to everybody. Terry Wickstrom, you're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, brought to you in part by Jack's Outdoor Gear. They are open today, so if you need that last-minute fishing item, camping item, or even grilling, they are there in all five locations. Stop by. Let's go right to the phones now. And we feel very honored. I think that Josh Nearing, he's the senior aquatic biologist out of the Southeast region, is joining us. And Josh, for you to take time out on the 4th of July to call us, thank you very much.
Good morning, Terry. Happy to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Let me set the stage a little bit. There's a buzz in the angling community that's been just hitting a pitch that I haven't seen for a long time. And that has to do with these proposed changes to spearfishing regulations. And I want to kind of clear people up how we're going to handle this. Josh is going to come on. He's going to talk from Colorado Parks and Wildlife perspective about the nuts and the bolts of what's going on, how we got to this point, and where we go from here. And then next week, I have arranged to have a member of the spearfishing community and a representative from the conventional angling community that are each going to get a segment to kind of give the virtues of each of their positions and talk about why it should or shouldn't be passed. Now, Josh, what is the current state of spearfishing in Colorado? Is it, a lot of people didn't even know we had it.
Correct. Yeah, it's not as well known as far as as angling, but yeah, we have spearfishing regulations in Colorado. Currently, the regulations allow for northern pike and carp on a statewide basis, and then east of the Continental Divide, we allow the take of gizzard shad, white, and longnose suckers. And then those are allowed east of the Continental Divide, except where there's specific water body restrictions or land management agencies, and then that prohibit it. And then at Pueblo Reservoir is the only other reservoir where we allow other species than those. And we have three species of catfish that are legally can be legally harvested by spearfishing. Those are flathead, blue, and channel catfish, and then also wiper. And those all have a bag and possession limit of five fish each.
So there is a number of opportunities. Is there quite a number? Do we know or don't we know the participating number of spear fishermen? And do they need any kind of a special license, just a normal fishing license?
A normal fishing license is all that's required. And it's a little tough to know the precise amount of spear fishers that we have out there. But it's been estimated that there's around 150 members of the Rocky Mountain Spearfishing Association, and there's probably 50 active members in Colorado. So I imagine the number is slightly higher than maybe that 50 number throughout Colorado.
Now, before we get into what changes are being proposed or the nuts and bolts of the bill, why a change? What precipitates this? What makes Parks and Wildlife look at changing a regulation?
So this has come up in the past to increase spearfishing opportunities. We were approached by the spearfishing community to look at our regulations and then also compare them to other Western states. And in that process, we looked at other Western states, and it seemed like Colorado in general was more restrictive than most other Western states. And so we worked to sort of develop this proposal. It's very much in draft form, looking for comments from individuals, and we'll compile those as we move through this process.
Now, I think the first public announcement of this came at the Southeast Regional Meeting. Am I correct?
No, we actually had two other angler roundtables on the West Slope about 2 to 3 weeks ago. And then the most recent one was not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before, a virtual angler roundtable
Now, do we know what the new regulations or the new proposal is? I know it's still being formulated, but can you give us at least the general back what it's going to entail?
Sure. Yeah, the current proposal would allow for the statewide take of fish species that currently have a statewide bag in possession limit. So basically, the same same regulations as fishing, or the same bag in possession limit as fishing. But there's certainly going to be some water body specific situations where spearfishing won't be allowed if there's, you know, if there's recreational conflicts, or there may be size restrictions, or maybe species restrictions on individual water bodies. But the current regulation would allow for statewide harvest of those fish that have a current bag and statewide bag in possession limit.
Now, when you looked out at surrounding states, the West is such a vast area. Did you have any trouble really saying Colorado kind of fits into this mold, or did you kind of try to take a general perspective?
More a general perspective. Certainly Colorado is unique in that, you know, we have warm water reservoirs on the east slope and some on the west slope, and then it goes way up into the mountains where we have a lot of colder regions. And so it varies quite a bit. You know, water body size is certainly a consideration as well. Some of the western states have larger water bodies than Colorado. So we're looking at all that. Yeah, I'm looking at it with a really wide lens at this point.
And, of course, our population is quite a bit different here, too, than like Utah or New Mexico. When you get a draft like this, you get started. You said the spearfishing community approached you to change the regulations. Is that a pretty common practice that a group who and all the groups in the outdoors have agendas? I mean, we're not going to try to single anybody out. But is that a pretty common practice that gets you to look at regulations?
It is. I mean, it could be anything from a organized group or just anglers, you know, that come to our angler roundtables and they submit, you know, comments and have concerns, whether it's, you know, the level of fish that we have in a certain reservoir, or maybe it's a statewide thing where they want to increase or decrease, you know, the bag and possession limit. So, yeah, we that's exactly why we do these angler roundtables, is to get that public input, sort of analyze the situation, look at the biological impacts, all those sorts of things, take those into account as we're developing a regulation.
Now, I'm sure you know there's been a huge amount of backlash in the angling community, and whether it's justified or not, we're going to try to ferret that out next week. We're going to devote two segments next week to, we're going to give a member of the spearfishing community time to come in and state their case, why they think it should go through, and then we're going to let a member of the traditional angling community who's opposed to it give their case. What is the status of the changes right now? Is there still room for public comment? And do we know if it's going forward or in what form it's going forward?
Yeah, thanks for that question. There was a little bit of confusion, and most of that lands on my shoulders during the angler roundtable. I requested that the participants get back with me in the next week with their comments about the angler roundtable in general, so not just the spearfishing. So some of that was my mistake, and it was maybe misinterpreted. But, yeah, we're currently in the very early stages of this proposal, and so we'll be taking comments for quite a while here. We have another angler roundtable in the Northeast region, and people can sign up for our e-newsletter that will give them news, hot topics, and press releases that go out, and certainly the angler roundtable will be on that once it's scheduled. It's scheduled, we're working on it right now. We have a tentative date for right in the middle of July. So we'll be taking comments, you know, from that angler roundtable, and then the next stage in the process, as we collect these comments, we would go to our internal staff regulation review committee, basically, and they would review not only this regulation, but other proposed regulation changes. And that is happening in mid-August. If at that point the regulation may change some, it may, you know, have more restrictions, it's hard to say. But if it moves on from that stage, it would actually go to our Wildlife Commission, and they would hear the proposal for the first time at their September 2nd and 3rd meeting. And they would simply hear what the proposed regulation, along with any others, and then they would vote on it at their November 19th and 20th meeting. So certainly taking comments all the way up until, you know, they would vote if it was to go that far. So I just encourage people to contact me directly. I'm organizing all these comments and kind of summarizing those, getting all that input from the public, so I can move that on to our internal staff and then also up to the Wildlife Commission if it was to go that far. And they can email me at Josh, J-O-S-H, dot Nehring, and that's N as in Nancy, E-H-R-I-N-G, at state, S-T-A-T-E, dot C-O, dot U-S.
Now, we're really out of time, but one last question. Have you compiled biological impact information, and is any of that available?
That's a good question. It's, you know, with the number of spearfishers out there, it's difficult to know exactly what the harvest is. We do creel surveys where we interview anglers on harvest, but we don't come in contact that much with spearfishers that are out there just because there's not so many. So it's a little difficult, but I think at those levels, it would be It's hard to say. Yeah, we don't have a whole lot of data, but we rely on getting information from the public and the spearfishing community as well.
Josh, we are out of time. Why don't you give your contact information again for people who want to comment?
Sure. Email me at Josh, J-O-S-H dot Nehring, and that's N-E-H-R-I-N-G at state, S-T-A-T-E, dot co dot us.
Thank Josh for taking time out on the 4th of July to go over this issue with us. It's going to be a hot topic for the next few weeks. I know that, and I will remind people now, this is the nuts and bolts. Next week we're going to get a pro and con segment on spearfishing in Colorado, and I'm sure that we'll get comments from that you can pass on to Josh. Josh, have a good rest of the 4th of July.
Thank you. Happy 4th to you. Appreciate the opportunity to be on.
All right. Thank you so much. Josh Nehring, biologist from the Southeast. We're going to take a quick time out. Chad LaChance is going to join us, and we're going to talk fishing when we return on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.